Our next speaker is Abdeen Jabara.
I think that what we have seen since 9/11 has proven the statement that immigrants and people who are here without nationality are perhaps the weakest link in the civil liberties chain in this country. On the 18th of September, 19th, the New York Times ran a headline that says the United States widens its policy of detaining suspects. Prior to 9/11, the Immigration Service had a rule that, a regulation, that a person who was detained had to be charged within 24 hours. That was immediately extended to 48 hours after 9/11. And then in the Patriot Act, extended to 7 days, but with unlimited detention, on the say-so of the Justice Department and the Immigration Service in the case of a national emergency. After 9/11, between 1,200 and 2,000 non-immigrant aliens, Muslims and Arabs, a few Sikhs, and some Israelis, were taken into custody. They were taken into custody on the basis of tips from ex-spouses, ex-girlfriends or boyfriends, neighbors, employers, fellow employees. The FBI fanned out across the country, interviewing thousands of people, taking them into custody and sending them off, the bulk of them, here to New York and to New Jersey, two county jails in New Jersey. No names were released, no location of detention, no charges of what was pending against these people, and no nationalities for the detainees. They included 40 Mauritanians from Kentucky, an Egyptian cartologist from North Carolina, Saudi students from Baltimore, newsstand operators, taxi drivers, doctors. They were held in the most draconian and punitive of detention. They were placed with convicted felons who had been convicted of violent crimes. One Pakistani in Mississippi, when he was heard talking to his family in Urdu, was beaten up by his fellow inmates. Some of them were placed in a so-called special housing unit, which is really solitary confinement with 23-hour solitary lockdown. Many of them had lack of access to lawyers or friends or family, since they had been moved from where their point of arrest to different parts of the country so that they would be denied that access. Dogs patrolled in the corridors in some of the county jails. They were served religiously inappropriate food, and they had lights on for 24 hours. Some of them, as I indicated, were subjected to beatings by their guards. On October the 29th, the ACLU and 24 other organizations filed a Freedom of Information Act request, requesting the names and the basis of detention and whether or not these people had access to lawyers. A month later, feeling the pressure, although the Justice Department said that they could not release these names because it would be a violation of the law, because it would violate these people's privacy. They indicated that 548 people were being held on immigration charge, while another 93 of these people were being charged with various criminal offenses, all of which were unrelated to the terrorist attack of 9/11. License driver fraud, other minor traffic violations, etc. Now, the difficulty here is that these immigrants did not have the same kind of rights that a person who is charged with a crime. They're not entitled to appointed counsel. They're entitled to retain counsel of their choice if they can afford it. And they were also being transferred to these county jails in various parts of the country where they were isolated from any contact with anybody that they might know that could assist them. Several hundred of them, wanting to end their misery of being locked up, signed papers saying that they waived their right to have a hearing, have a bond hearing, waived their right to a deportation hearing, agreed to be deported. And they signed these papers and they remained in jail. These are what we call the several hundred of disappeared who remain in these prisons today. On 9/11, after 9/11, the so-called CREPI memo was issued. CREPI, interesting name, was the chief immigration judge.
How do you spell it?
C-R-E-P-P-Y. CREPI issued a memo to all the immigration judges around the United States saying that where the government indicated that a case was a, quote, special interest case, it was to be adjudicated in a completely in-camera fashion. No relatives present, no friends present, no media present, and the case would not even be listed on the official docket of the court. At least 100 cases, we believe, were so adjudicated. Two lawsuits have been brought to challenge this, both of them by news organizations, newspapers in Michigan and New Jersey, and I'll talk more about that later. Material witnesses. Some of these detainees were designated not as immigration violators, not as criminals, but as, quote, material witnesses. A material witness is a person that the government says has information that may be material to a trial concerning 9/11. How is a person held on the basis of being a material witness is because an FBI agent files an affidavit that is a basis for the detention, and all proceedings relative to that material witness are also held in a closed proceeding, closed to the media, and all of the, and there's a gag order on every attorney that is appointed to represent or is retained to represent a material witness. It's suspected, because we don't know exactly how many of such people are classified, but we know of several cases, and it's suspected that there are approximately 12 people who are being held totally incommunicado, totally without any criminal charge, solely on the basis of a FBI affidavit that the attorney representing them may not have a copy of. He can only look at it and make a note. On 10/12, the Ashcroft Justice Department issues new regulations concerning the Foreign Intelligence, the FOIA, Freedom of Information Act, limiting the access to information even where it has no involvement with law enforcement or national security. On 10/26, they issue another regulation that allows the INS to override the giving of bail by an immigration judge. If an immigration judge listens to the facts and decides that the respondent is entitled to be released either on a cash bond or on his own recognizance, the Immigration Service can override that automatically. And this is a clear violation of the separation, judicial separation. On 10/30, the New York Times reported that the Justice Department and the FBI were examining relaxing the so-called Levy guidelines on when an investigation can be initiated, and that would allow FBI agents and informants to be sent into churches and mosques to engage in totally political investigation that is does not have a criminal predicate. It was also announced that 5,000 non-citizens who had entered the United States from January 2000 between the ages of 18 and 34 would be called in for, quote, voluntary interviews. And because the FBI was so overstretched, they said we will ask our law police departments around the country to conduct these interviews for us. Portland, Oregon said, well, we can't do it. Our law says that you have to have belief that these people have committed some kind of a crime before we can do it. So they refused to do it. Ann Arbor, Michigan, where my friend Dick Sobel is from, they refused to do it. It's getting so that people, some police officers and police departments are bucking the Justice Department because of the violation of individual rights. They announced several weeks ago that this first interview process had been completed and that half of the 5,000 had been interviewed, 20 of whom had been charged with some criminal law violation, none of which related to 9/11. They also announced, that they're going to interview another 3,000 people fitting the same kind of classification, and that they were going to enter into the national crime computer system, the FBI National Crime Computer System, the names of 6,000 Muslim, Arab, and South Asian deportation absconders. There are 320,000 deportation absconders in the United States today. That means people against whom there is an outstanding deportation order, but who have not responded to that order. These names are now going to be placed in there so that all of the law enforcement agencies around the country are now able to check whenever they stop a person for a traffic violation whether their name is in that system. And they will be immediately arrested. And Ashcroft has said that they should be charged with crimes if there's any possible basis for doing so. They've issued that order. Now, it gets even scarier. On April 11th, all right, today's April the 14th, the Justice Department said that it was going to enter not the names of absconders, but names of people who are suspected of terrorism into its master criminal information database used by local authorities for background checks. And in issuing this order, Ashcroft said, information is the best friend of prevention. The National FBI Information Center database is used by 650,000 local, state, and federal law enforcement officials. Now, the FBI began entering thousands of names into the system before the Winter Olympics. Now, with this announcement, thousands more people who have not committed any crime, have no criminal history, are now going to be entered into this system so that if you're driving in some back road up in North Dakota and you're speeding, you better watch out. This Department of Justice has admitted that it has no set standard to determine why someone is placed on the list, and that the names would only be removed if the terrorism suspicions proved to be unfounded. And this is not just a, again, hypothetical situation. An Egyptian cab driver was picked up post 9/11 because he parked next to a hydrant in Brooklyn. And then during questioning, he was told that according to the CIA and NSA, he had given anti-American speeches. He's been held in solitary confinement until 2 weeks ago when he was finally released into the general population because they said they didn't find anything on him. And 2 weeks ago, for the first time, he was appointed a CJA attorney, Criminal Justice Act attorney, because he was described as a material witness.
I have one last thing.
There's a wonderful book that I really want to call to your attention. It's called Terrorism and the Constitution by James Dempsey and David Cole. There are order forms for it here. It's available. I have 60 order forms. I'm put out by the First Amendment Foundation, and I highly recommend, if you're interested in this, it'll give you a great deal of background on this subject, including the Patriot Act. Thank you.